The frauds. Isn't that amazing? The good people today in America is following these jokers. Alrighty, then he said to Ittai the Gittite. Here was a Philistine that had known David from back in his war days when he was running from Saul, when he wasn't king, when he was hiding in holes and in mountains and in caves and running from one part of the nation to another to escape the wrath of Saul. Here was old Ittai the Gittite, who was a Philistine that David somehow had made friends with. And boy, when he heard David's in trouble, he raised 600 men. He came over there and said, I've come to help you. And they were mighty men. He didn't come over with a bunch of little half-fed squirts, knock-kneed, pigeon-toed, bow-legged. Boy, I tell you, he came over with mighty men. And listen to what David said. This touches me. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. You don't have to come over here and fight for us. You're not of this nation, and they won't accept you. Go on home. You're not going to get any honor out of this. My Lord, he said, whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I may go whither I may? He said, you're probably choosing the wrong side in this war. I'm probably going to get defeated and I won't be king anymore. And you're going to suffer the same humility and the same fate I do. He said, take thy brethren back. Mercy and truth be with thee. Go on back. You're probably taking the wrong side in this war and you're going to suffer the fate I do. And Ittai answered the king and said, the Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the king liveth, surely in what place my Lord the king shall be, that's where Ittai is going to be. Praise God. Hallelujah, said, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. I'll be right there with you. So he said to him, to Ittai, go and pass over. Again, can't get rid of you. Come on. So he went with him. And then it goes on and shows the ark of God following David. He said, you go back to the city so you can inform me of what's going on back there in that rebellion. So Zadok and Abiathar the priest went back to Jerusalem. Verse 29 says, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot. Listen how that man humbled himself. He was a king. He went barefoot. His head was covered, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. And then they went on, it was told him that Ahithophel, his own counselor, now was conspirator with Absalom. And then he prayed that God would turn his conspiracy upon his own head, which he did. He went and hanged himself because his counsel backfired. And he went and hanged himself and burned the house down over it. Now, he went on, goes on here and he tells about Shimei cursing David as he went along. He joined the rebellion. I want to skip over some of these things here and just show you here what's happening here. And this is one of the terrible humiliations in David's life, but it was part of the experience that helped make him that man after God's own heart. Even though it led to the death of Absalom, who murdered his brother Amon, and David's family, the sword never departed from it because of one of the sins he committed back in 2 Samuel, the 6th and 7th chapters. Now, chapter 16, 2 Samuel 16. It goes on here and tells here how the kingdom was divided, who took David's part and who didn't. But when he came, verse 5, when David came to Bahurim, there came this man Shimei, and he came forth and he cursed David as he went. Call him a son of Belial, a bloody man, and all of that, you know, because he'd taken over the house of Saul, and they said that God now has taken the kingdom out of your hand and delivered it unto your son in your mischief because you're a bloody man and all of that. Well, David's mighty men wanted to cut their heads off, so let me go take that man's head off his shoulders. David said, no, said, it's not a day to do that. He said, the Lord probably told him to curse me. Oh, I tell you, David's something else. He humbled himself. And he goes on. And then David said to Abishai, verse 11, 2 Samuel 16, Behold my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more did this Benjamin, let him alone. He wanted to kill him. And Abishai was one of his generals. Joab was one of his generals. And he made Ittai, this stranger out of Philistia, one of the generals here to help defeat the armies that Absalom had raised by stealing the hearts of the men of Israel. Now let's go on down a little bit further in the 17th chapter. Now here's where the council here of Ahithophel is. It is rejected by the son of David, Absalom, because God wanted to turn his own wickedness upon his head. Now he gave him good counsel, but David's loyal counselor, Hushai, verse 7, said to Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given thee is not good at this time. And he goes on and gives him some counsel that leads him right into a trap that David and his three generals with three groups of men sets for the armies of Absalom. Absalom was going to stay home and let 12,000 men go fight. But Hushai said, no, that's not the way to do it. He said, the way to do it is you to gather all Israel and you lead them out into the battle. And God was getting ready to punish Absalom for this terrible conspiracy. Now I want you to listen to hear, though, how terrible this conspiracy was. All right, in the 17th chapter, Ahithophel said to Absalom, I'll take 12,000 men and arise and pursue after David this night. I'll come upon him while he's weak and weary, and I'll smite the king only, and I'll bring all the people back to thee, and they'll come back in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel. He was willing to send this group of men, this brigade, to just take his father, to execute him, and then to turn the whole kingdom back to him as being king. Now look how ruthless this rebel of a son was that had never won a battle. He never fought a battle. He never endured hardships. He'd never been tested in no kind of a trial. He'd never been disciplined by his father or no one else. He'd just been one of those kind that run around and did as he pleased in the family of the king. He was a spoiled brat, just like a lot of children are today. And he rose up against his father. Well, that's nothing. Doesn't the Bible say it's going to happen in this last day? Jesus said in Mark 13 and 12, in this end time, he said, the father's going to betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children are going to rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Why, this was the old spirit of Antichrist working even back there in David's day, because he was a symbol of Jesus Christ. All right, then the battle is engaged. And we find here that all of the armies then were gathered together. David arose, verse 22 says, he went over Jordan when he heard what Absalom was fixing to do. They crossed the Jordan River with all the armies that were loyal to him. Ahithophel, verse 23, went home, put his house in order because his counsel was not followed. He hanged himself and died. All right. Then now Absalom, verse 24, passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And then we go down here into the next chapter. I want to get to this because I tell you, I like the way God took care of David. David numbered the people, chapter 18, 2 Samuel. And he set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And he set a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, a third part under the hand of Abishai, his brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite, this Philistine that took David's part. Praise God and his mighty men. He put them over there and he said, you're in charge of the third corps. I tell you, God always provides a way, don't he? And the king said, I'll surely go forth with you. The people said, you'll not go forth. They wouldn't care if they killed half of us. You're the guy they want. They know if they get you, they're going to destroy us.